and turn with me to John chapter 11. I'm still trying to get over this cough. So you pray for me tonight as we wrestle around with that. John chapter 11. All right, Liberty Men, meeting tomorrow night at 7. Don't forget that. And also the April 2nd Liberty Kids egg hunt immediately after church. So be prayerful about those two things. Well, tonight, Lisa, I think I'm just going to have you put that last passage of Scripture that I give you on the board, if that's okay. I'll say something or have someone stand and sing. Whoever I appoint while you fix that and get that right. But we're here in John 11 on the miracle of Lazarus. Now, last Wednesday night, we didn't get to finish it. My voice wasn't allowed, and I'm probably going to have enough voice tonight, as you can tell, to get through with this message. But it's such a wonderful miracle. In fact, nearly in every verse, in every passage or every chapter, there is something noteworthy to speak about. I think there's a miracle all throughout all this whole chapter, if you will. But let's look at these few verses here as we refresh ourselves on the miracle of Lazarus. So the Bible says this: Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus says, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God. And then they took the stone away from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou heard me always, but because of thy people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he was spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths, and his face was bound about with a napkin, and Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. So I want to remind you about this miracle, just very briefly, who we're speaking of. We're speaking of Mary and Martha, Lazarus, brothers and sisters. They've been disciples of Jesus throughout the ministry of Jesus. I want to remind you about Martha, who she is. And I'm just saying these things because I want you to know that these are not nominal disciples. They don't just show up on Easter and show back up on Christmas. They don't just come when you're throwing a hot dog supper. But these women and Lazarus, they were disciples of the Lord Jesus. Martha, if you remember, Martha is busy serving Jesus. She is a worker, if you will, and she is a server. She's always running around looking for something to do. Now, there's blessings in people like that. The church needs people like that. Don't get me wrong. The church absolutely needs workers and laborers, not people who want to growl or people who want to bellyache, but people who want to do something for the Lord. And then there's Mary. Now, Mary, we know that Mary, she is that Mary that busted her alabaster box and worshiped at the feet of Jesus. Mary is a worshiper. And here we see that we still see that kind of that personality of Mary. And so she was found at the feet of Jesus. And remember, Martha had a problem with that. And Jesus says, hey, leave her alone because the Father seeks such to worship Him, who worship Him in spirit and in truth, is what Jesus said. And so Mary was a worshiper. Listen, the church also needs worshipers. In fact, you really can't serve Him until you have worshiped Him. Now keep in mind, almost anybody could praise Him because we praise Him for the things He's done. Lord, thank You for paying that bill for me. Thank You for the good doctor's report. Thank You for opening the door and letting me get a job when I didn't have a job. But a worshiper is one who's going to worship Him regardless. A worshiper is going to say, Lord, I don't even have a job right now, but I'm going to praise You anyway. Lord, I don't know how this bill is going to be paid, but I'm going to worship You anyway. And so what I'm trying to show you tonight is this, is that Mary and Martha and even Lazarus, but these were committed, faithful souls as disciples of Jesus Christ. And so we find them here in their house and Lazarus gets sick. Now imagine the situation there and how this thing probably played out. Lazarus, he gets sick. Maybe he starts running a fever. And they're like, hang on, Lazarus, we're gonna put a cold rag on your head. We're gonna try to get this fever to break. We'll give you some home remedy, whatever their remedies were back then. Just hang on, we're gonna get you there. In fact, we're gonna pray to Jesus. We're just going to pray and ask Him to touch you. And they pray. And well, a few hours later, Lazarus is worse. Lazarus' fever has gone up. He's shaking under covers as they pile covers on him. And they're saying, Lazarus, this is going to be okay now. It's going to be okay. Not only have we prayed, but we've sent word to Jesus. So Jesus is going to come. You don't have nothing to worry about. Our friend Jesus, who's been in our house many times, we've sent for Him, and He's going to come. So hang on, Lazarus. Just hang on a few more hours. Jesus is going to come and make you better. And then maybe Lazarus, maybe his fever goes so high that Lazarus starts slipping in and out of consciousness. And by then, they're getting desperate. Now, remember, they sent for Jesus and said, Lord, Lazarus is sick. He's been sick for 2 days. They need You to come. Well, literally what the text tells us is that Jesus just tarried. Now, if you remember, when Jairus' daughter was sick and nearing to death, and she ends up dying, but while she was sick and nearing to death, Jesus was on His way. And while He was on His way, a woman with an issue of blood caused a delay in the travel of Jesus. So Jesus takes time, heals this woman. Then He's freed up. He begins His journey again. But when He's going to the house of Jairus, He receives word that Jairus' daughter had died. So He was held up because people had needs. But in this text we see tonight, Jesus got word and basically He just did nothing. He wasn't occupied with ministry that we know of. He wasn't tied up that we know of. He just was hanging around. And so back at the house, Lazarus slipping in and out of consciousness. Maybe by then they're starting to get desperate. Hang on, Lazarus. Hang on. We've sent for Jesus. We know He's on His way. We know He's coming. Listen to me. If I call 911, I'm not one of these people who call 911 for a barking dog. If I call 911, you better believe they better hit the go button and get somebody on their way because something bad has just took place or went down. And what I fully expect is for somebody to come sliding in my driveway sideways and jump out ready to help. Well, Mary and Martha, they had called 911 for Jesus. And He's nowhere to be found. And they're probably like, just hang on a little bit, Lazarus. Just hang on. And Lazarus slips out of consciousness, never to regain it. Lazarus, Jesus is coming. We know He's coming. We know He's coming. Just hang on. And then his breath gets more shallow and more shallow, and the death rattle begins in his throat. And before you know it, everything that they had hoped would happen. Why? Well, they're worshipers. They're servers. They're not backslidden. They're not running around in the world. but they're devoted to the Lord and they've sent for Jesus and nothing. And then what happens to Lazarus? Then he takes his last breath and he's gone. But they sent for Jesus. They prayed. They called for Jesus. They asked for him to come and he's not there. Now, not only does he not come when they sent for him, he must not know that he could get voted out of a Baptist church for that. He ought to know that. In a Baptist church, listen, in a Baptist church, if the pastor doesn't get a word from the Lord that somebody's got flu and you're supposed to call him and go check on them, then you're in bad trouble. If the Lord didn't tell you that and you didn't get a word of knowledge, so to speak. But not only did he not go when they called for him, he didn't go to the visitation either. And not only did he not go to the visitation, he didn't even show up for the funeral. What kind of pastor is that? My goodness. But that's the story that's in front of us. And as we read this text, we see that the story, well, it's not really getting any better, but the story is just getting worse. Excuse me. And so we see Jesus shows up not one day later, not 2 days later, not 3 days later, because remember, Jewish tradition says that the spirit stays near the body for 3 days. So think about this. If Jesus had showed up 2 days later and he raised Lazarus, then all of the critics and all of the unbelievers would say, well, we knew the spirit is always near the body. That's not that much of a miracle. But Jesus shows up 4 days late when all hope is gone. So think about this just for a minute. Is that you? Have you had to watch someone die? I don't mean physical, like an elderly parent or a grandparent. You stood at their bedside or you was in the hospital with them, whatever. I'm talking about you have this great prayer burden, but you've watched this situation die. This individual that you love so much in whatever way that it may be, you have watched life leave this whole situation, this whole relationship. And you prayed. You prayed. Listen, when we pray and the Lord answers our prayers, I don't need a theologian to tell me what to do when that happens. I know what I'm going to do when we pray and Jesus answers. I'm going to tell somebody about what the Lord has done in my life. In fact, if somebody else is preaching, I'm probably going to get up and take the microphone from them and say, listen, I just have to share something with all of you. I want you to know that this past week, here's what I was going through. I prayed and the Lord miraculously delivered and answered my prayers. I don't need you to tell me what to do when He answers my prayers. But what am I supposed to do when I've sent for him and I've called for him and I've sent for him and I've called for him? I'm trying to keep this life, this need alive. And I'm grasping for everything I can grasp for just to keep this situation from dying. And I've prayed and I've prayed and the Lord lets it die. Now there's no hope. What do you do then? Where do you go then? I mean, you've called on the one who made the sun, moon, and stars, and the world and all that was within it, and man, and all the fowls of the air, the fish in the sea, the beast of the field. He made everything. 7 days, you've called on God Almighty, and yet He's not answered your prayers. What do you do? Well, Jesus shows up, but again, he's 4 days late. He shows up. Martha hears. Somebody comes running and says, Martha, 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 Jesus is on his way. We see him coming out the driveway. Martha runs out to meet Jesus. Excuse me. We talked about this last week. Martha's not happy. Martha's not happy at all. Now, you and I must agree, and I'm going to tread on some dangerous water here. If everything doesn't come out just right in what I'm about to explain, Mike Bruce told me all this. So, you have to agree that men and women get upset differently. You know what I'm saying? So, I just happen to know, and I've been told that if you ever make a woman mad, like, she can get pretty mad. That's what I've been told. But I do know this. I know you don't want a woman to brew on something for a while. Like, man, it's of your best interest to try to work things out in a hurry. Especially even if you have to say, yes, ma'am, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said what I said. I shouldn't have done what I'd done. Whatever you say, honey, I apologize. I do know that. But I know what Jesus was up against. He was up against a woman who had had 4 days to brew on something. She was upset. Very upset. Mary was so upset that when she heard Jesus was coming, she didn't even want to go see Jesus. She stayed in the house. She might have said something like, we called for him 4 days ago. And he come way too late. Just tell him he can leave. We don't need him now. But Martha runs out. She expresses her frustration. Lord, if you'd have been here. Lord, if only you'd have come when I thought you needed to be here. If, if only you'd have come when you should have been here. If only you'd have come when we prayed the first time. Lord, not only that, but we know you didn't even have to come. When we sent word, Lord, if you would have spoke it where you were at, if you would have thought it where you were at, our brother would have never died. You were way too late. But can I let you in on a little bit of something? Some of you are looking what's left in your hands of a relationship, a friend, a family member, a situation, a job situation, a financial situation, whatever it may be, and you're thinking that it's dead. The Lord didn't do something when I asked him to do something, so it's dead, it's done, it's over with. I want to share something with you, and you need to write this down. God doesn't set his watch by your clock. You need to write that down. One thing you can be sure of that you're going to learn as a life of a disciple is that he does things in his time. In his time. He knew that with Lazarus. And here's the thing too. He knows that with you. And so he comes and Martha lays out everything that she has. And she says, Lord, if you would have been here, if you would have come when I asked you to, this situation wouldn't be like this. But now, it's dead. He's dead. And there's nothing can be done. And here's what she says next, though. This is the life of a disciple. She says, Lord, if you'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. It's dead. It's too late. But Lord, what I do know is this, from following you as a disciple and seeing you work and seeing you heal and seeing you raise up and seeing you work these miracles in our midst, I know that even now, whatever you ask of the Father, he'll do it. And so, Lord, everybody is looking at me saying, that's just the way it's going to be for the rest of your life. That's what you're going to have to live with. You're just going to have to learn to live with this situation. It ain't going to change. It ain't going to get any better. You don't understand how hard this case is. I've seen things like this before. Things don't get better. Things can't be helped. Things can't be healed. It's an impossible situation. That situation that you have, well, it's different. No, listen to me. But Martha said, Lord, I know that even now, if you ask, God will do it. It's what we talked about last week, is that even now miracle. And so she's acknowledging her faith. She said, Lord, I think it's a lost cause. Lord, I think it's way too late. And that's why he said, you know, show me where they laid him. And she says, Lord, he stinks now. It's been 4 days. Decomposition has begun to take place. It's too late. Resurrection cannot happen. But Lord, even now, if you say it, it'll take place. Don't lose that even now truth from your vocabulary and from your heart, because that's where belief comes in. That's where faith comes in. But watch what happens. And this is almost really the way I want to close. I'll walk us on through the scripture before I do that. And so the Lord makes this comment. He says, show me where you laid him. Now, here's the deal. You got to keep in mind, the Lord already knows. He knows exactly where Lazarus is buried. Nobody had to tell him. He knew what was wrong with Lazarus. He knew when Lazarus took his last breath. And he knew when to show up right on time. He didn't need anybody to tell him where Lazarus was laid. He could have went right straight to the graveyard. But he said, why don't you, who has given up hope because you've watched something die, why don't you, who's given up hope, show me where you laid him? In other words, why don't you show me where you laid it all down? Why don't you show me where you give up hope? Why don't you show me where you just wrote them off as a lost cause? Why don't you show me where you give up faith? Why don't you show me where you quit praying because you thought it was too late? Why don't you show me where you grew weak in your faith? Why don't you show me where you become angry? Why don't you show me where you become bitter? I want you, Martha, and you, Mary, I want you to take me to the place where you laid it down and you just threw up the white flag of surrender and said, I quit. It's hopeless. It's a lost cause. It's a lost case. There's nothing else we can do. It's way too late now. I want you to take me there. One of the things you're going to find in Scripture is this. Jesus, or I'll say the Lord, many times over, the Lord asked penetrating questions, not because he didn't know the answer, but because he wanted the individual he was speaking to do a self-examination and see what the answer is themselves. Adam, where are you? The Lord knew where Adam was. The problem was Adam didn't know where Adam was. And so he asked them this question, show me where you laid it down. Excuse me. And that's exactly what you need to do, is the exact same thing, because you give up hope. You've give up hope. Where did you lay that down? And the Lord said, I want to go back to that place. I want to go where you laid it down. And then watch what happens. The Lord prays, and he said, Lord, Father, he said, I know you can do anything I ask. And in what I'm doing now, I'm asking for the benefit of those who are here, unbelievers, skeptics, enemies of the Lord. I'm asking right now, I'm going to ask out loud, for the benefit of the doubters. That's when it hit me. The Lord's been taken to the graveyard. Lazarus is in a tomb, dead. The Lord didn't have to say a thing. There's an old song that says, three times, three times, three times he cried, Lazarus, come out. Well, it's a good song and makes for good gospel singing, but really it's not truth according to Scripture. But the truth of it is this. He didn't have to call out at all. All he would have had to done was just think it, and Lazarus would have come out of that tomb. But he didn't do that. The Bible says that he called out loud. Why? Because he wanted to draw attention to his Father above so that he would get the glory and so that Christ himself would be revealed as the Messiah, as the chosen one, the anointed one. But he came to glorify the Father in heaven. And so out loud he says, Lazarus, come forth. Now watch this. Now hang on just a second, I'm about to be finished. So, one commentator somewhere many, many years ago, because hundreds of preachers have preached this since then, maybe thousands have made this statement, that he had to say, Lazarus, come forth, because if he had just said, come forth, then he would have emptied that graveyard that day. Every dead person in that graveyard would have come up out of that grave when Christ said, come forth. And so he had to say, Lazarus, come forth. I want to take this a step further, if you don't mind. I don't think this is interjecting anything into Scripture that's not already there. I'm going to take it a step further. There were many Lazaruses in that day. Many. We've seen the parable, the story. It wasn't a parable, but it's a true story of the rich man and Lazarus. The Lazarus that was a beggar. The dogs licked his wounds. They both died. The rich man went to hell. Lazarus went to paradise. So there's many Lazaruses in that day. Watch this. When our Lord said, Lazarus, come forth, he was speaking about this one Lazarus. Now watch this. So you need to know, this was for Mary and Martha. They had sent for Jesus. They had asked. The Lord was late. They were upset, maybe even mad. But they knew that he was the Lord of all. And so they said, even now, if you ask, God will do it. And so our Lord says, speaking to that Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. I want you to know something, that the miracle, because that's what we're preaching on, miracles of our Lord, the miracle that God has for you, no one else will get it. God's got a miracle just for you. God's got a miracle in store for you. In fact, what I want you to see is this, and he's done this for many reasons, but for all of the skeptics, for all the unbelievers, for all of your enemies, for all of those naysayers, for all of those who have given you plenty of negative advice, for all of those who have breathed to you plenty of doubtful things, causing you to doubt what the Lord can do and will do. You need to know that God has got a miracle in store for you in that situation that you're in that very much parallels John chapter 11 the way we've seen it tonight. God's got a miracle for you. But that's not just all. That's not just all. As we see Lazarus come out, and I think there's many things we need to talk about there, but time won't allow it, and my voice is just almost sliding right on out. I need a big dose of groundhog grease. That's what I need, really, groundhog grease. But y'all don't even eat groundhogs down here. They eat them in North Carolina, and they are very delicious, let me say. I love them. They're yummy. Don't look at me like that. Because some of you eat deer meat, and you need to know deer are scavengers. They pretty much eat anything in the woods. They'll eat grass, acorns, mushrooms, nibble on leaves, nibble on buds. An old groundhog, all he eats is clover. That's all he eats. Pure clover-fed table fare. Kill yourself a groundhog and fix one. Let me know how it goes. All right. Little groundhog's grease. That was my point. Clear all this out. Listen just a minute. And this is how we close. So here's what you got to know. And I know your situation's bad. I know the Lord had us in John 11 on this miracle. Because John 11's a bad situation. And it's a bad situation that's come to their house. It's not the neighbor down the road we talked about last week. It's not across the county. It's not in Ethiopia. It's not in Africa. It's not in the Sudan. It's not in California or Montana or Wyoming where we need to send mission. No. This bad problem has come to my house now. If it was the house down the street, then I could just say, I hate that's happened to them. Let's remember them in prayer. No, but it's happened to me. It's happened to me. It's come to my house. It's come to your house. And so I know this bad thing has come to your house. And you called for Jesus and nothing. And you called for Jesus and nothing. And you've got mad and you've got angry and then you've got hurt and then you've cried and then you've got mad again and you've gritted your teeth together. You've picked your fingernails. You've not eaten. It's been nights you've stayed up. You've called. You've prayed. You've asked. You've fasted. And what have you got from heaven? Nothing. Nothing. What about that? I'm in church every Sunday morning. I worship Him on Sunday, even when I don't feel good. I come and I'm worshiping Him. Even when I've not got a check in the mail, I'm a worshiper. I serve. Anywhere there's a need in the church, I run and serve. I'm not one of these people trying to make excuses to get out of serving, but I see stuff that needs to be done and volunteer to do it when nobody's even asked for it to be done. I teach in Sunday school. I've taught in Bible school. I've led the little kids for various activities. I've sung in the choir. I've done all of these things. In this bad situation, come to my house and I've prayed and I've called and He's done nothing. He's done nothing. So what I would ask tonight is this, is that you take Him where you laid it all down and give up. Take Him where you laid it all down and give up. Take Him where you lost faith. Take Him to that place where you quit because this bad situation come to you. You prayed and you prayed all night long, but He didn't answer. Take Him to that place where you just took your hands off of it because you felt it was too big of a bad situation. There's no hope from this particular situation. Take Him to that place. Take Him to that place and say, Lord, here's where I quit at. And go back to that place. And then remember when you're at that place that God doesn't set His watch by your clock. He has got His own timing for everything. And we don't understand that now. I know that spiritual truth. I know it in my heart. I believe it in my heart. I've known it for years as a disciple of Jesus. But yet, when the bad situations come to my house, I'm looking at my watch. And I'm like, Lord, You need to do this right now at 8 p.m. on this Saturday night. Or You need to do it at 9 a.m. and it needs to be done now. Where are You at? What are You doing? It's got to be done right now. I don't have time. I don't have patience for it. And even though I know that truth that God doesn't set His watch by my clock, I'm still human, and that's what we do. And so because God doesn't do it when and where and how we think, we start to give up hope, and we start to lose faith. I know a man that got saved, a truck driver. His mama had prayed for him and prayed for him. His mama sent him gospel CDs and gospel tapes. There's gospel tapes back then. Sent him gospel tapes every week, hoping that listening to preaching, he would get saved. And you know how he got saved? He stopped in a truck stop one night or one day. He gets out of his big rig and he goes inside and he goes back to the bathroom and he walks into a stall. And he shuts the door and he starts to use the bathroom. And while he's using the bathroom, there's a gospel tract laying on top of the toilet paper holder. He reads that gospel tract and falls under conviction and he gets saved. And then God called him to a trucking ministry where he was taking the word of God all over trying to win truckers that are on the road. I'm sure his mama had thought, Lord, it has to be this way. If you're going to save him, it has to be this way. We've got to get preaching to him. We've got to get sermons to him. It's got to be this way. She would have probably never imagined that through a gospel tract, which is a sermon, but it's not on tape. She would have never thought through a gospel tract in a bathroom stall that her son would pick that up and give his life to the Lord. So listen to me. You don't have to know how God's going to work it out. And you don't have to know when God's going to work it out. And you don't have to know where God's going to work it out. But all you need to know is that even though it's dead, that even now he can do it. When, where, and however he wants to bring you your miracle. Last point is this. Last point is this. I just want to say, if there's anybody watching online, if there's anybody here tonight in this church, and well, that's you, you identify with exactly what's going on in John 11. If that's you, then you got to really see the big scheme of things right here. You got to see the big scheme of things in this bad situation that's come to your house. And the big scheme of things is this. You're trying to figure it all out. And I just want to say, I think based on John 11 is this. I think you kind of missed it. If you look at the big scheme of things, here's what God has done. God has been setting you up for a miracle. That's what he's been doing. Now listen, he is very able. And we do see accounts of it in God's Word. He is very able. The first time I think a prayer, he is able to answer that prayer. But what if every time that I thought a prayer and he answered the prayer immediately, what if it was like that all the time? Every time there's a need, I pray, he answers it. You know what I would do with him? I'd treat him like a genie in a bottle. I really wouldn't be totally dependent upon him because I know I got my genie in a bottle. I can do what I want to do, go where I want to go, live how I want to live. And every time I pray and call his name out, he immediately answers and appears and works a miracle in my life. Until the next time, I'll do what I want to do, live how I want to live, go where I want to go. But if there's a great need comes to my life, I'll just say my little prayer, rub my little bottle, and genie pops out, and he answers my prayers. And so on and so on and so on and so on. And so that's why God doesn't do that. That's why Jesus taught about persistence in prayer. That's why Jesus taught about some things don't come but by fasting and prayer. And that's why Jesus gives us John 11, a real life story, not a parable, not just a teaching, but a real life story about two sisters who prayed together and prayed together and called on Jesus. And Jesus never showed up. The bad situation got worse until it was the worst situation possible, until there was absolutely no hope. But you know what Jesus was doing? You know why he wasn't tied up doing ministry and he was just tarrying after he got the word? Because he was setting them up for a miracle. He was setting them up for a miracle. So you need to leave here tonight knowing this, that this is you identifying with John 11. And what he's doing is he's setting you up for a miracle. So there's a miracle coming. Do you have the faith to say, Lord, here's where I give up? But I know after John 11 that even now, if you ask it, the Father will do it for his glory. So I beg you tonight, go back to where you lost your faith. Go back to where you give up hope. Go back to where you laid it down and say, Lord, here's where I laid it down. But here's where I pick it back up again, because I know that even now, you're setting me up for a miracle. I want you to stand. If you're watching Liberty Live, I want you to pray. And as you stand, let's pray tonight. Father in heaven, I thank you so much, Father.